Thank you for leading us in that time of worship, time of prayer. You know, I asked Pastor James if he had another psalm up his sleeve. He said, no, not this time. So you got me this evening. We are continuing in our, and thank you, James, for filling in last week. Excellent job. Psalm 13, a great exposition of that text. We're in Psalms for Every Season again this evening. Psalm 46 is our psalm for tonight, our study for this evening. It's one of the songs, a trilogy really, of the songs of triumph. This is one of the three, and it's kind of the grand theme here for our study this evening is radical trust in the face of instability, really severe instability, as we'll see in the text, catastrophic events. Radical trust in God in the midst of the instabilities of this world. That's our theme for this evening. If you'll turn to Psalm 46, I'd like to read the text in its entirety, and then we'll just kind of break it down as we move through the passage. So Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Probably the most familiar verse, if not verse 1, then verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. What a great and powerful psalm we get to dig into together this evening. As Paul mentioned earlier, Psalm 46 was the inspiration for reformer Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. What a great hymn. A little complex to play, but wonderful to sing. I haven't sung that for quite some time. Some of those lyrics, you probably caught them in Psalm 46 coming through. I'll read a few of the lyrics from that hymn that connect to our passage here. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Lord Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts, which we read of here in Psalm 46. Lord of hosts, his name, from age to age the same. He must win the battle. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Right? He utters his voice, the earth melts. Psalm 46. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. A great hymn, a great psalm this evening, Psalm 46. The title reads, I didn't read it in our reading of it, but the title reads, if you look in your Bibles, to the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. So the sons of Korah were likely a family of temple singers. And according to 1 Chronicles 6:22, we won't look there, they were Levites who descended from Kohath. So that's, again, a family of temple singers writing and executing, I guess, this psalm. That word, the final statement there, according to Alamoth, is a little more difficult to interpret. The Hebrew word normally is used in connection with young women. And that's led some scholars to believe that it's a musical notation, that this is to be sung in a higher tone, in a female range of vocals, kind of like the sopranos in a choir. That's why I asked Al Morgan to sing this Psalm 46 as a special this evening. And I'm not sure why he declined. I just still haven't figured that out. If you know Al, you know what I'm talking about. Al was our base up here this evening. We don't know the details surrounding the psalm here, but we do know it was composed during a time of crisis. Kind of generalized, but you know, just reading it here, we can see this is a time of crisis in the life of the psalmist. Yet in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the upheaval, there's this bold, confident confession of faith. And I love that. It's just so powerful, that testimony, the testimony of the psalmist. And if you think about it, when a person sings a song like this, in the midst of a season like the one described here, it carries weight, doesn't it? It's a powerful testimony to us. And I've heard these songs. I've heard these powerful testimonies in our church families. I've heard them in all kinds of different settings. I've heard them here in our building, in this auditorium. I've heard them in Bible fellowship rooms. I've heard them in living rooms, in small groups. I've heard them in hospital rooms, waiting rooms. I've heard them in all sorts of different places, people singing confidently with utter faith in God in the midst of very difficult, difficult circumstances. Your songs build my faith. They really do. When I hear you sing these songs, it builds my faith. So we need to sing these songs, don't we? And we need to hear these songs sung. Which kind of goes back to why I opened with Ephesians 5, right? Singing to one another. So important. So Psalm 46, psalmist sings, in this world of instability and catastrophe, there's the stability of our God, our great God, as Paul prayed moments ago. It's a psalm of confidence, has three refrains. Selah sets those off. You probably noticed that. The three different refrains, they'll kind of form our outline this evening. We talked about those, that word Selah. We don't know exactly, again, a musical or liturgical notation of sorts. Maybe a pause where you might insert a scripture that coincides with the text. That's a possibility of what that word means. So the three refrains, Psalm 46, here's our outline for tonight. The instability of nature, we'll look at that in verses 1 through 3. The instability of nations, verses 4 through 7. And the stability of God, verses 8 through 11. Instability of nature, instability of nations, the stability of God is our outline for tonight. So let's begin with the first refrain, the instability of nature. There's that frightening, really horrifying imagery used to describe this time of crisis in the psalmist's life. Look with me again at verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as at its swelling. I want to first kind of paint a picture tonight of instability. So bear with me. Because we want to live at verse 1 there. That's such a fantastic verse of scripture. But we're not going to touch that just yet. We're going to wait. I kind of want to paint this picture, give this imagery of instability, and then we'll come back to the stability of God later on in our study. When we step off a boat, right, we often speak of how, I've never been on a cruise, but I can imagine you feel this way. I've been deep sea fishing before, but when you step off the boat, you talk about how great it is to set your feet on solid ground, right? But how solid is the ground that we stand on, really? Not all that solid. Anybody been in an earthquake before? Anybody, a few of you raising your hands, you've been in the midst of an earthquake. I shared this some time ago, but we spent some time in Papua New Guinea, several years. There are over 600 earthquakes a year in Papua New Guinea. 100 are over the 5 magnitude of 5 or greater. So lots and lots of earthquakes there. Very unsettling, as I've shared with you before. You never quite know what to do, right? Do you run out of the house? Do you hide under furniture? Do you grab your kids, wake them up in the middle of the night? Do you have time to do that? Very, very terrifying, very, very unsettling. It's this really strange feeling. There's kind of like a violent shaking that takes place, followed by this rolling feeling under your feet. Very, very unusual sensation that you experience. Some of you have said you have experienced that. Let me ask this, probably a more important question, more practical question. Have you ever experienced instability in your life? Right? A crisis, some kind of quake, you might say, in your own life. Maybe you're in it right now, right? The ground is rolling under your feet. You're in the midst of a time of great instability. If you live long enough, looking around the auditorium, I'll include myself, we've all lived quite a few years, decades on this earth. You live long enough, you're going to look back and there are seasons that you would identify as a time of crisis in your life. You might even use catastrophic language to describe it, right? My whole world was shattered, right? My life was turned upside down. We use that language. The ground shook beneath my feet. Psalmist uses that kind of imagery, doesn't he? Hear that horrifying imagery to describe his crisis. He imagines the instability of nature. Earthquakes, raging seas, creation, really all of creation in upheaval, in turmoil, in tumult. And the earth and the mountains are really a symbol of stability, right? Solid ground, earth and mountains. And when they move, and when they change, when they tremble, when they shake, it is terrifying, right? Like the earthquakes that we just spoke of. When the waters roar and surge beyond their boundaries, it's quite terrifying. This might be a little twisted, but I watched a couple of videos on YouTube as I was studying this, just thinking about earthquakes and the sea kind of breaking its boundaries. One of those videos was an earthquake, and you've probably seen them before. The people were terrified, right? Terrified. Screaming, running into the middle of the street so that the buildings don't collapse on them. And you can see the ground just on the, I guess, CVT cameras there. CCI, is that right? Security cameras there. The ground just kind of rolling under their feet. And in the one video, a gentleman standing in the middle of the road kind of squatted down trying to keep his balance, looking for something to anchor himself to. But everything is shaking, just terrifying. And then watched one of a tsunami, right? That great wall of water coming in, and same thing. People screaming and running, this time finding higher ground, some safe ground to stand on so they're not swept away by the waters moving through the village. Terrifying, horrible videos. That's what the psalmist is getting at here. Instability in life, right? The crises we face feel a lot like those videos, the emotions in those videos. Financial hardship. It's tough times right now, isn't it? These are tough times in America, around the world. Health concerns. We just prayed for many of them. Work stress. Broken relationships. Heart-wrenching loss. Where can we anchor? Right? Where can we anchor? Is there any solid ground for us? Psalm 46 is such an important psalm. It's really designed to dispel our fears with confidence. But before we get to that, I told you I was going to paint a picture of instability first. Consider the second refrain here, the instability of nations. So the psalmist goes from raging nature to raging nations. Again, frightening imagery, a city under siege. Verse 4 of our text, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It's kind of interesting here. The psalmist goes back to some of the same language that he used earlier in the psalm to describe nature. A little hard to see in the English, but in verse 6 he writes, the nations rage. That Hebrew word for rage is also found in verse 3, though its waters roar. Okay, so rage here, the nations rage, nature roars, the waters roar. That word means to growl or to be boisterous. Verse 6, he writes, the kingdoms totter. That Hebrew word for totter or verb is the same as moved in verse 2. Though the mountains be moved means to shake or to slip. So nature is tumultuous. So is history, right? History is tumultuous. The story of the nations, nations rage and kingdoms totter. One quickly rises, and as quickly as it rises for a time, it crumbles and it falls. In the context here, the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High, that's Jerusalem, okay? In the context of Psalm 46, Jerusalem, God's chosen residence on earth, more specifically the temple, right, where His glory was made known to Israel, where He received the worship of His people. Psalm 46 is actually grouped among the songs of Zion. These are hymns that celebrate Jerusalem, God's special place of dwelling on earth. The other psalms, the songs of Zion, are Psalm 48, 76, 84, 87, and 122. That's for you scholars out there that like to put all these things in the back of your mind. So the songs of Zion. When the nations march into battle, when they siege Jerusalem, where was Israel to find shelter? As I was reflecting on this text, nothing new under the sun, right? Nothing new under the sun. Israel continues to face threats from her enemies. Not just Israel. Other nations around the world, you can see them listed in our bulletin, and some that aren't even listed there, they're facing these things as well. I did an internet search for current conflicts in the world. Now, where are wars taking place? Where are there conflicts among nations? One of the first websites that popped up was crisisgroup.org. It's an organization I don't really know anything about, it except for they seek to prevent war and to shape peace. The website caught my attention just because it had the word crisis, right? And that's kind of the theme of our study for this evening. And I looked at it, there's an article there, 10 conflicts to watch in 2024. Listen to what the first paragraph, how it read. Can we stop things from falling apart? Yeah, quite the question. Can we stop things from falling apart? 2024 begins with wars burning in Gaza, Sudan, and Ukraine, and peacemaking in crisis. Worldwide diplomatic efforts to end fighting are failing. More leaders are pursuing their ends militarily. More believe they can get away with it. Right? Nothing new under the sun. Nations continue to rage. Kingdoms continue to totter. But the conflict extends beyond boundaries of nations and fighting over land, right? There is this cultural war that's happening. There's a war ongoing, a spiritual battle for the souls of men. It's kind of thinking about that. My mind went back to our study in Daniel last year, around this time. It was in July. I made this statement. It was right around Independence Day. On Independence Day this year, I have to be honest, I had mixed feelings. A sense of pride in being an American, but also a sense of sorrow over the direction of our country. I know the cultural shift I've witnessed pales in comparison to many of what many compares in, try it again, pales in comparison to what many of you have witnessed in your lifetimes. This is not the America you grew up in. Remember that line? This is not the America you grew up in. You remember Bible in the schools, posting the Ten Commandments, riding bikes wherever you please, leaving your doors unlocked. You remember a time when purity and marriage and life were valued, right? A year later, we've moved even further, further away from God and His truth. This cultural shift that is taking place, a war being waged against God, against the truth of God. It's heartbreaking in our country. Did you sense it in the Olympics? Right? I think you saw it. I don't need to go down that path too long. Do you sense it in an election year? Right? Where some of the key cultural issues are abortion and gender identity. A cultural shift that's taking place. Beyond these conflicts and this crisis, there are the personal conflicts with our so-called enemies, right? Those who dislike us, some who hate us, some who want to literally do us harm, verbally, physically, whatever that might be. As Christians, where can we find shelter? Where is our solid ground? That leads us to our final, most important refrain, some uplifting word for the church this evening, the stability of God. The stability of God. Again, Psalms designed to displace our fears with confidence. We have an anchor. We have an anchor. We have a shelter. We have a fortress. His name is Yahweh, right? The Lord of hosts. He's with us. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want to spend kind of the remaining time that we have on that phrase, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God Himself speaking, addressing us, addressing the nations. Command really, first and foremost, it is directed to the nations. And it is a warning. There are other applications. There's other things, principles to pull from the text that we will. But first and foremost, this command of God is directed to the nations. Be still and know that I am God. Cease and desist is the idea of God's command here to the nations. My boys, 14 and 12 years old, they don't always get along perfectly well at home. Imagine that, pastors, a preacher's kids having troubles at home. They're at odds with each other from time to time. They'll be upstairs, Emil can affirm this. I'll be downstairs, and they start getting into it, and it is escalating quickly. And what do? You've all been there before. I step in and break up the fight, right? Make peace, stop the fight, stop the escalation from happening. That's the idea here, right? The nations are raging against God. They're raging against God's people. They're raging against each other. And God basically is stepping in and saying, stop, cease and desist. Be still and know that I am God. So the command directed, again, primarily to the nations, but not just to the nations, also to God's people. Directed to us for comfort, really. Obviously, as God's children, His desire is that we be comforted. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's demanding that we cease and desist as well. Stop what, you might be thinking. Stop what? The answer is stop trying to be your own Savior. Stop trying to fix all of your problems yourself. Stop worrying. Stop doing. Be still. Be still. God is saying, let me be your Savior. I'm God. You're not. Let me solve your problems. Just trust me. That's God's word to His people here in verse 10. You might wonder, why should I trust God? Here's where the text just gets so beautiful. Why should I trust God? I'll give you two reasons. First, He is infinitely powerful. We can trust Him because He is infinitely powerful. He will be exalted in creation. He will be exalted in history. Philippians 2, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord over creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He assigned to the sea its limit. He marked out the foundations of the earth. Colossians 1, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Right? Lord of creation, infinitely powerful. Not only Lord over creation, but Lord over history. He works all things according to the counsel of His will. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. It's biblical truth. The king's heart is like a stream of water in the Lord's hand. He removes kings and sets up kings. Romans 13, there is no authority except from God. God is infinitely powerful. He will be exalted in creation. He will be exalted in history. He is Lord over all. He can handle your crisis. Your crisis is small. Great God, small cancer. And that's not to minimize illness in any way. But God can handle your crisis, whatever that crisis might be tonight. He can help you in your trouble, your time of trouble. That word means being pressed in from every side, right? He can help you in your trouble, no matter how catastrophic it might seem tonight. We have nothing to fear because of the stability of God. That wasn't even our text, right? Now I got to go back to our text. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word refuge is defensive, right? God is our place of protection. The storm's approaching, the enemies are threatening, and God is our refuge, defensive, our place of protection. The word strength is offensive. God fights for us. He must win the battle, right? Martin Luther's hymn there. So the Lord is our shield, the Lord is our sword. Verse 6 in our text, He utters His voice and the earth melts. God's roar is greater than any roar this universe knows, right? The roar of the seas, the roar of the nations, God's roar, God's voice is greater. He needs only speak and it is done. Just as He spoke the created world into existence and then ordered it all according to His will, so He can speak order into chaos, right? The chaos of your life. With a simple word, He can remove your fears. He really can. I hope you believe that. With a simple word, He can end your crisis. Think about Jesus, right? Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. He speaks the words, peace, be still. A simple word, all fears are gone, and He can put an end to your crisis. We'll talk about it in a moment, but according to His will and His timetable, of course. Verse 7 reminds us that the Lord of hosts is with us, right? Commander-in-chief dispatches His angel armies to help us in our time of need. Wrap your mind around that one. That's an incredible picture. Verses 8 and 9, we're encouraged to behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations to the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. How foolish to think you can set yourself up against omnipotent God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be still and know that He is God. Cease and desist. The strongest leaders, the strongest nations, the strongest armies, they have no option but to obey God's word when He chooses to speak. Probably picked up on some of the apocalyptic language here as well. It's interesting. I think the psalmist is under inspiration looking forward as well. Isaiah prophesied about the millennial kingdom of Christ, right? Christ would reign. Christ would judge the nations. People will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Catch some of that apocalyptic, future end times language there. Peter spoke about the final judgment. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How does God bring peace today? I believe God brings peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're ministers of the gospel. We carry the good news to the nations so that man might be at peace with God and man might be at peace with his fellow man. The gospel is the means by which peace is brought to the earth. The Prince of Peace brings peace. But as God chose Jerusalem as His special dwelling place, so He chose Jerusalem as the base of operations, right? Looking back at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You can track the gospel's advancement through the book of Acts based on chapter 1 and verse 8. But Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 also reveals that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. The heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to His promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Right, we long for that day, don't we? The day when God creates new heavens and new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down, that holy city of God, the eternal heaven, enduring and final peace. Right, peace this world has never known except in the Garden of Eden. And so our hearts cry out, even so, come Lord Jesus. Right, we long for that day. Why should you trust God? Just a couple minutes left. I know we've gone a little bit over. Why should you trust God? He is infinitely powerful. Not just infinitely powerful, He's lovingly present. Right? It's our great God, transcendent, far above creation, imminent, involved. He cares. He's deeply concerned about our individual, personal lives. He's lovingly present. I shared this at Steve Hoffman's service just to be a comfort to the family on Friday. A.W. Tozer's words, you've heard this before, God is everywhere here, close to everything, next to everyone. I love that. That is so true. The presence, the loving presence of God in our lives. God is our refuge and strength. Verse 1, a very present help in trouble. The idea is a readiness to help. God is able to help, but not just that, He's eager to help. Help may be found when you need it, and it's found in God is the idea there. God is very present, especially present, lovingly present. I thought of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Note the contrast, verses 3 and 4 of the waters. The sea that roars, the river that makes glad. Destruction, satisfaction. What a contrast there in the waters. I thought again of Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters, right? The still waters of God's presence. There's gladness even in the midst of crisis. Why? Because the life-giving river is really God Himself. God Himself. His presence, His peace, His grace especially. Psalm 16:11. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Verse 5 of our text. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Right? Because of the presence of God, neither nature nor the nations were a threat to Jerusalem. I was thinking about that a little bit. And this is original with me, which can be dangerous. But I was thinking about that a little bit. God, of course, chose to make Jerusalem His special dwelling place in the Old Testament. The temple, the Holy of Holies, a place where His presence was known. But God, in the New Covenant, has chosen to make His special place of dwelling us, right? Think about that. God's presence with us. Not just with us, but in us. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? We don't rally to a place for refuge and strength, though we can find that here in the church among our brothers and sisters. We rally to a person. Really, we don't rally, we rest in a person, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ within us. We shall not be moved. As I said earlier, the end of a crisis, just a word away, but according to God's will, according to God's perfect timetable. We catch a glimpse of that in the text. Second part of verse 5, God will help her when morning dawns. I pray that morning dawns soon for you. I prayed that for you in my office today. Morning dawns soon for you, that the crisis would come to an end. Until then, I'm confident you will persevere. God will help you to persevere. He'll give you strength in the midst of that. Radical trust in the loving presence of God in the midst of instability. We're transported one more time here to the eternity, the eternal heaven, all things made new. Revelation 22. Apostle John writes, "Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." All right, so church, when the earth shakes and the waters surge and the waves crash all around you, I encourage myself, be still and know that He is God. Take refuge in Him. Find strength in Him. Surrender your crisis to Him. Dwell on eternity, right? That day when everything will be made new. Everything will be perfect peace. You aren't God. I'm not God. He is God. Yahweh is God, the God of hosts. Rejoice in the truth. He is infinitely powerful. He is lovingly present in your life. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Luther's hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." You know what a bulwark is? Neither did I. That's why I looked it up. It's a defensive wall. It's actually used in the setting of the sea, a wall that holds back the surging ocean. Very fitting lyric there for that great hymn. But fortress here, my last word to you, fortress here, even more powerful, paints a picture of inaccessible height, right? God will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. He is an impenetrable fortress for us, come what may in this life. So as we go from here, thank you for your patience, right? May we sing and keep on singing to ourselves, to one another, Psalm 46. Be still and know He is God. God, we praise You. You are God. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. This life is so full of trouble. So many crises. God, we can't do it. We try. We can't make it through on our own. We need you. We need your grace. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. We need your peace. We need your help. And I know in this room, many of us are in the middle of that crisis. Thank you that you're our God. We can lean into you. We can trust you. Give us a radical trust as we go out from here. God, I pray the end of the crisis would come soon. But God, do your good work in us in the meantime. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you.